birth of Jesus. If you remember the first week, we looked at Mary. And we looked and we learned how in the face of losing everything she had, in the face of possibly being put out from her own family, in the face of being shamed and ridiculed, she said yes to God. When there was no promise in the midst of that that everything would work out for her. The promise was that she would give birth to this Savior. But she had no idea that everything would just be great. Everything that she had lived for, just everything she had thought she had, everything she had planned for, was now in absolute jeopardy, but yet she said yes to God. And that we talked about that for us and how we can learn great lesson from that, that sometimes God is going to call us to great things. And are we going to answer and say yes, even when it seems like it may put us in jeopardy? Even when it seems like it may ruin our plans for our future, are we going to say yes to God? I thought that was a great lesson from Mary. Then we looked at Joseph and we talked about how even though we overlook him so often, most people don't talk about Joseph so much because he's not in the Bible very long. But nevertheless, he plays a key role in the birth of Christ. And through him, we learned lessons like we've got to accept God's will no matter the consequences, right? This is another case where Joseph had come, and as far as he knew, this girl that he was betrothed to be married to had now been unfaithful already. And the scriptures say that he was prepared to, because he was a righteous man, he had prepared to divorce her quietly. And he could have done it publicly. He could have been bold. He could have called for her to be stoned. He could have done all sorts of things. But instead, we find even in the midst of this being betrayed, he wants to be gentle and he wants to put her away. And that's a good lesson for us, that sometimes we love to lash out and we want to get even. And when we are wronged, and maybe we could be more like Joseph. But the big thing was Joseph knew that when the angel came to him and proclaimed to him what was going on, he knew that nobody was going to believe him. He knew that everything was going to falter. He knew that he was going to be himself ridiculed and shamed for having taken on Mary as a wife. But not only that, then we see immediately God calls Joseph to go and to flee to Egypt with his son. So he leaves his whole life behind to go to sleep, to flee to Egypt to protect a baby that's not his. And there are certain lessons there. We need to care for others more than ourselves. It's a great lesson that we get from Joseph. And we need to learn to get at whatever we have for God's plan. For Joseph, it was his very life. It was to pick up and go. For us, who knows what it is? But God has a plan, a perfect plan, and every one of us fits in that plan. Paul puts it this way to the church in Ephesus, when he says that you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of works so that none should boast, but you are saved for good works which God has prepared beforehand. So there are things that God is calling you to do that only you can do. There are things that God in His plan says, I have work for you. If you still have breath in your lungs today, I have work for you that is prepared, planned, and prepared. And the answer is, will we step in to that work? Joseph stepped into that work, and I think he's a great reminder for us. But now here we are, and it's Christmas Eve day. And I'm sure that everyone has wonderful plans. I hope everybody coming tonight to the candlelight service, it'll be wonderful. It's a great time. All your neighbors will be back there. They're all hanging out in the warm house, right? We have a great time with that as we bring in Christmas Eve with the candlelight service. It's one of my favorite things that we do every year. And I truly hope for you guys, for every one of you, that tomorrow will be a great celebration with your family. Enjoying good food. Who's got good food on the... A few of you. All right. I know whose house is not to come. All right. There's only a few people got good food. All right. Well, I hope you have good food. I hope you have family gather. I know for us, you know, as our family gets older and now we've got grandkids, it's awesome, but it's also, you know, this is the first year where, you know, half of our family will not be there with us because of work obligations and things like that. And it's just, you know, it's all a change. But nevertheless, we have great reason to celebrate. So our final Christmas message this year, I want us to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. We want to incorporate all the wonderful plans that we have and the candlelight services and the meals and the caroling and all the fun things that you guys might do as a family, that we do as a family. But I want to hone in today on what Christmas is really about. And I know when I talk about Jesus on Christmas, most of us immediately think of a baby in a manger, right? The baby in, and we don't want to ignore that. We don't want to ignore the fact that Jesus came as a helpless child lying in a manger. That God came and took on flesh, entered our world in such a way that he was exactly like us. Dependent upon a mom, dependent upon a dad, dependent upon the good graces of others. We don't want to overlook that. That's an important aspect. If we get past that, if we don't deal with that, we will miss the true glory of the incarnation. That Jesus came to live a life that is truly and genuinely human. That we can look at our Lord and we can know that he understands my life from beginning to end. The author of Hebrews says that he was made in every way as us, yet was without sin. He was tempted. He went through all the pains and all the sorrows and all the challenges from birth to death. And we don't want to ignore that. But we often get at Christmas get narrowly focused on a baby in the manger, and we miss just who that baby is. And so today we go to a text that is probably not a very common text for Christmas, because it's not really cute, but it is a text that gets to the heart of who that baby in the manger is. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who are born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, a glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would use my study and my words today to encourage your folks as we prepare to celebrate the greatest events in history. The day that our Savior left his throne above and took on flesh for a specific purpose. And we thank you, Father. And I pray, as always, that what I prepare today is not tainted by my failure in flesh, but is a worthy representation of your word and what you'd have me bring to your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just go through this. This passage doesn't need a whole lot of help, but often, nevertheless, we miss it because we often don't like just the plain reading of Scripture. But John begins with, in the beginning was the Word. And we know the Word he is speaking of is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. But I want you to notice what John clearly says here in that very simple sentence. That the Word was there before creation. Well, John is hearkening back to the words we find in Genesis. Genesis 1:1 begins with, in the beginning. And so what John is saying now is this Jesus was there in the beginning. Meaning the Word, meaning Jesus, is not one of the created things to come after the beginning. You hear that? Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is the Word, and he was before creation. He's not a created being. He is the eternal Word. The eternal second person in the Godhead. The Word is not part of the world that came into being in the time of the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus affirms that later in John. John 8 and John 17, when people want to know who he is, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. And he's proclaiming to be the eternal God, claiming to be Yahweh, the creator of all things. So we see first this Jesus lying in a manger. Think about the implications of this, y'all. Jesus lying in a manger, being cared for by a young mother and a man who wasn't even his father, was preexistent and eternal. This is God in flesh. I know you're like, yeah, we know that. I don't think we ponder that enough. What it means that we don't have a God who simply looks from us from a throne, issuing commands. It would have been very easy for a human to create something, to have it turn to mush and be marred. And we would normally do what? We would throw it away. I've done it. I'm not a very skilled person when it comes to woodworking and things like that. I've tried my hand at a few things and I usually mess it up. You know what I do with a creation when I mess it up? I throw it away. But God makes a perfect creation. And we mess it up. But he doesn't throw it away. On the opposite. He enters it. He doesn't just stand in an ivory tower issuing commands, but he comes and he takes on flesh. He comes and he enters our world as a babe in a manger. Continue on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Greek word for with is pros. It represents equality and intimacy. So not only is this Jesus pre-existent to creation, not only is he eternal, but he is with God in the sense that he is equal with God. He's intimate with God. Literally, John was saying that the Word was face to face with God and equal to God. This is why we just read Hebrews, where it declares who this Word is. And then in case people didn't get that, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, well, John wants to be even more clear, and the Word was God. This means that the Word is the very essence and nature of God. We just read that in Hebrews 1:3. That he is the exact representation of God. If you want to know who God is, you look to Jesus. And he shows us who God is. So basically what I'm saying is John meant exactly what he wrote when he penned this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But there's more in this short sentence, just these first five verses. I want to continue on. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So first of all, not only is he a Word, but he is the one who has created all things. Jesus is the Creator. He was there in the beginning. When God said, "Let us make," he was speaking of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but John declares now that everything was made through the Word. Meaning through Jesus. That means there is no life apart from Jesus. Do you get that? This babe in a manger is the very one who not only creates life, but sustains life. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's nothing in creation that is apart from Christ. He created all things. This is why Jesus has authority, by the way. Not because something has to be bestowed on him, but because he is the rightful owner, being the creator of all things. And this is why we give great value to his instruction and to his word. He is the one who created all things. He is the one that upholds all things. He is the one that sustains all things. And therefore, creation is his. This is the eternal word of God. But then it gets even more. Verse 4. In him was life. In him was life. So not only is creation done by him, but life within creation is only brought about by Jesus Christ. We have life because of him, because of the Word. That's amazing. This is the babe in a manger, friends. This God who created all things. And this God who is the source of life. This is another reason, I'm not going to get in a down or anything, but this is another reason why we should be so unapologetically for life. Because all life finds its ultimate beginning and sustainment in Jesus. In him was life. And look, And the life was the light of men. Now we get into why this word took on flesh. Because the power of sin and darkness and death has wreaked havoc in God's creation. Friends, we know this. Right now in our news, we know, we see this every day. That the power of sin and darkness is wreaking havoc in creation. From top to bottom. We have wars and rumors of wars. We have crime that goes beyond description. We have families torn apart because of sin. We have children that are ravaged because of sin and darkness. So Jesus, looking from his throne, sees his life and creation being dragged into darkness by sin. And he enters the world. And it says, this life was the light of men. That Jesus has come to shine a light in the darkness. Don't miss that. This is a purpose. That darkness has overcome, but Jesus has entered the world to shine a light in the darkness. So that anyone who would see upon that light, to trust upon Him and follow Him, would now be rescued from that very curse of sin and darkness. Jesus, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's no light apart from Jesus. There's no hope apart from Jesus. Creation is stuck in darkness. Creation is stuck in sin and the power of death. But Jesus comes in the flesh as the light to men. And by the way, that men is to mankind. So Jesus comes and He offers life. He offers light. This is the baby in the manger. But then John 1:5 is, I don't like saying this, but I'm going to say it because I might change it some other day. But John 1:5 is probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible. And it's one I think that gets overlooked. And I want to read this to you. I want to read verse 4 and verse 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now I want you to get this. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now that's an amen verse right there. I don't know if you understand the implications of this babe in the manger, that this Jesus has took on flesh, and He is the light of life and the light to men. And He entered the world of darkness. He entered the world of sin. He entered the world of death. And He shone His life. And its scripture says, the darkness, what has not overcome it? What does that mean? Jesus has overcome it. Why can we have hope? Why do we celebrate a babe in a manger? Not because there's a baby lying in a manger, but because this baby come and this baby has defeated the power of sin and death. His light has overtaken the darkness of the world. And therefore, that's why we have hope. How can I have hope? I'm a sinner. I'm a person that doesn't even love my wife right half the time. I'm a person that loses my temper when I shouldn't. I'm a person that gets selfish. I'm a person that gets wrapped up in stuff. How can I have any hope? I know that I'm still waging war with this darkness. Why can I have hope? Not because of me, but because of Jesus. He entered this world, and the darkness has not overcome it. He's the only one to walk in the flesh and not have darkness overcome him. Instead, he overcomes it. Hallelujah. That's why we celebrate. And that's why his death on the cross is sufficient for you and for me. We cannot have the death on the cross be sufficient unless we have the light of life who overcomes the darkness. If he doesn't, he's just another sinner like you and me. But Jesus comes as a babe in a manger, as a child with a mother, and all that comes with it. And not once does his darkness overcome his light. And he gives himself on a cross, enabling us to come into his light. Oh, it's more than a babe. It's more than a babe. Let us always remember, we're not worshiping an infant. We're not worshiping just a child. But as John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Tonight we'll gather again, candlelight and singing, and we'll read the Christmas story. And sometimes it might be tempting to miss the whole thing. I hope you don't. I hope you come back tonight. And if you can, I hope you spend time with your family. But I hope that your celebration is centered on the truth that God stepped down from heaven in order to accomplish salvation. That God himself paid our price in his life, in his death, and he's provided for us in his resurrection. He paid for our debt willingly. This is what we celebrate on Christmas Day. That to all who come to just Jesus by faith, we'll be reconciled to God and we'll walk in his light. And his light has not been overcome by darkness. I hope we set the stage for you this year. What a glorious God we have. That he would leave the throne above for wretched people like me and you. What a good God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you are well pleased, Lord, and I pray that we have set ourselves for the proper celebration as we just marvel in your greatness. And God, we can't even begin to jump into the depth of the incarnation today. We just touched on the surface today, Lord. It is amazing. We will ponder these things for the rest of our earthly lives. We thank you, Lord, that we have a Savior who took on flesh and has overcome this power of sin and darkness. We thank you in his holy name. Amen.
If you need prayer this morning,
or you need to...